I'm going to read the scripture this morning from the Pew Bibles, and I'd ask that you would pick one up if there's one near you and follow along with me. You can find it on page 28 of the New Testament in your Pew Bibles. So your Pew Bible looks like this. Go to the New Testament, find page 28. Good? All right. Listen to the word of God, starting in chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. So as the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a shout, "Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came, also saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Okay, so I invite you to think about what you already know concerning this parable. Even if you just heard it for the first and now second time, you know something about it. And if this parable is familiar to you, then think of the things that you have been told about it, how it was taught to you as when you were a child, or the conversation that you had about it in adult Bible study. Now this is getting outside of your comfort zones. Think of all of that and turn to a neighbor, known or unknown, and share what you know about this parable with one another for a minute, maybe two. Okay? So turn to someone near you. Tell them what you know. Tell them if this is the first time you've heard it. Tell them if you've heard it many times over. There's no shame in this, just conversation. Okay, I'll gather your attention back up here. It wasn't so bad, right? Friendly people around you. If you didn't get to finish your conversation and you're eager to do so, I invite you to take the conversation with you to coffee hour and finish it there. Okay? Great. So you know what you know, and I'm going to invite you to take a big, deep breath in. And then let it out. And we're going to do it again. But this time, when you breathe in, think of everything you know concerning the 10 bridesmaids and thank God for that knowledge. And then when you breathe out, exhale everything you know about the 10 bridesmaids and forget it. It's gone. All right? So breathe in what you know. Give God thanks. And now exhale and forget it. Now, let's pray. Thank you, God, for the opportunity to hear your word again anew. Open our hearts and our minds and our imaginations and stir us with your spirit that new possibilities might arise in and through us for the sake of your glory. Amen. So this morning, we are not going to focus on the fact that this parable may or may not be an allegory. We are not going to talk about who's in and who's out and who's who. We're not going to talk about what the oil symbolizes. We're not going to talk about the delay of the groom or the thing that truly drives me crazy, where is the bride? We're not going to talk about whether or not Jesus is the bridegroom. If you want to talk about those things, let's do it together in coffee hour. I have thoughts that I'm happy to share, and I am more eager to hear your thoughts. Those are worthwhile conversations that, for now, will be forgotten. Rather, we're going to talk about one thing, the future. That's what weddings are about, anyway, the future. Promises that a couple makes before God and the community to love and care for and have and hold one another for the rest of their future, whatever it may bring. And also promises made by God and the faith community to the couple. Promises to support, uphold, and nurture them in that love from now until forever, no matter what the future holds. So this is a parable about a wedding, and also a parable about the future. And what does it tell us concerning the future? In this case, the future seems delayed. The future is full of joy and laughter. But in the parable, the future seems delayed. The bridegroom does not arrive on time, but is delayed many hours. Enough hours for the excitement and joy of the bridesmaids to give way to just a doggone tiredness. Imagine those hours of waiting. First, he'll be here any minute. Every noise in the distance, every movement on the horizon. Is that him? But one cannot stay that alert for too long. And so the bridesmaids fall asleep. A side note here. Isn't that strange? Like, if my friend was getting married and their fiance was hours upon hours late, I would not be sleeping. I would be worrying. I would be sending a search party out, blowing up their phone with calls and text. My internal dialogue would swing from one extreme to the other, from something terrible has happened and he or she is dead on the one side, to that curse word. I knew he was a no good piece of garbage. I knew it. And all of that internal dialogue would filter out to a calm and collected, external, peaceful bridesmaid offering reassurance for the bride. I am sure everything is fine. There is no need to worry. Soon enough, they will be here, and this will be nothing but a funny wedding day mishap. But there is none of that worry. In Jesus' parable, at this moment, everyone is completely assured that the bridegroom will indeed arrive. No one questions that he is both okay and also on his way. And until he does arrive, you know, we might as well just rest up for the party ahead. So they all fall asleep. All of them, the wise and the foolish alike. And presumably, Jesus, the storyteller of our parable, has no problem with their sleeping. So maybe that's one lesson we're supposed to learn from Jesus's parable here about the future. Delay is okay. Slowness is welcome. Patience is a good thing. When delay happens, breathe easy. Stay calm. Get in a much needed rest. Don't worry about the future, for it is in God's hands. Stay attentive to this moment and what God is offering you in this moment. And that's a pretty big lesson for us 21st century American Christians. We like things to happen now, and if not now, then yesterday. We like to exercise control over our lives. I'll speak for myself, but maybe this is you too. I have a plan. And especially when it comes to big life things like a wedding, I have a particular timeline that needs to be stuck to. And if it doesn't happen on my timeline, Michael will tell you, I spiral pretty quickly into despair. I am kept up at night by selfish thoughts like, what is wrong with me that I cannot accomplish this goal or realize this dream? Or worse, God, why are you punishing me, as if that's what's going on? And both of these things, they're really just a surface cover-up for the scarier thought. I have no control over the future. I am powerless. So how can we approach the future with enough confidence to sleep like the bridesmaids? How can we dispel the anxiety and fear that cause us to either over-prepare or run in shame? How can we dispel the fear enough to rest fully in the assurance of God's goodness and love? For God's steadfast love endures forever, as our psalmist proclaims. The parable suggests, I believe, that we start with faith. Faith in the bridegroom's certain, albeit delayed, arrival. Faith in the bridegroom's good and loving intentions. Faith that even if for some reason he doesn't arrive, if it doesn't go our way, we will be okay. And if you read the story through the lens of faith, I think we may gain some understanding about just what makes the foolish bridesmaids foolish. Maybe it isn't their actions that separate the wise from the foolish, but rather their faith. You see, even the wise acted foolishly and selfishly. They prepared for their future by securing their place in it. Yes, they planned for the delay, but on a wedding day, who does that? Who assumes that the groom is going to be late, that the groom is going to leave his beloved waiting for hours? Their preparation, in my estimation, communicates a kind of need to control that I am quite familiar with, because I'm guilty of it myself. I have list upon list upon list trying to prepare for the worst and making sure that I secure my own well-being. And in their preparation for the delay, they forgot about how that delay might affect others, others whom they presumably loved and cared about, like the five other bridesmaids. If they truly cared, wouldn't they have packed enough oil for others as well? Yes, they expected the unexpected. And there's some value in that, but maybe only because to expect the unexpected, to not do so, to not expect the unexpected, might mean their own demise. It seems to me that even their preparations were selfish. They didn't know when he would come, but they assured that they would be there when he did, even if it meant others were not. And when the time did indeed come, and the other bridesmaids asked them to share, they denied their need. They chose to turn inward rather than outward, to prioritize their own needs over the needs of another. And if they were able to act so selfishly in that moment, I am led to believe that they have a whole lifetime of selfish choices before them that enabled them to say no to another person's need in this moment. And as we all know, the one telling this parable, Jesus himself, he doesn't seem to be about selfishness. He is the one who, by the end of this chapter, will preach that the ones making their way to the kingdom of heaven are the ones who give what they have away. They welcome the stranger, clothe the naked, visit the sick and imprisoned. This is a parable told by Jesus himself, who by the end of the story, or the seemingly end of the story, will have given his very life so that others might have life and have it abundantly. So it cannot, in my mind, be their selfishness that makes the five bridesmaids wise, or at least not in Jesus' eyes. So looking beyond their human actions, which both the wise and foolish exercise, we are left with a matter of faith. The thing that makes the foolish bridesmaids foolish is this: that in their hour of greatest need, they failed to trust the bridegroom's love and grace. They thought that they needed enough light. They thought that their getting into the party depended on their preparedness, their ability to add something to the celebration. They thought they found themselves now standing in darkness, and rather than waiting in that darkness, they ran from it. They could no longer conjure up more faith or more light in their lives. And rather than simply waiting on the bridegroom with sputtering lamps and dwindling lights, they left. And maybe, just maybe, that was their mistake. They left when they should have stayed. Would not the bridegroom have welcomed them into the light of the banquet? Maybe rather than show concern over the state of their oil lamps, maybe the bridegroom would have just been happy to see his friends there, waiting for him after a long delay. Surely we can understand why they left. If we think about it, what faith it would have taken to wait in such frailty, vulnerability, and honesty. This is not a comfortable waiting place. As you know, the future is so very unknown. In many ways, even when we have enough oil to keep our lamps lit, we still stand in places of frailty and vulnerability. And when we're courageously honest, we know we have so little control, whether our lamps are lit or not. We need not look far into the past to know how little control we have. A week ago, evil entered a house of worship, a place of safety, the very house of God, and took the lives and futures of 26 innocent souls. And in the months before that, hurricanes and fires and earthquakes took the lives and livelihoods of so many and left nothing but ruins in return. the loss, pain, and grief of our world is unspeakable. And many times it's the same in our own lives. We know unspeakable pain. We know hopes and dreams never realized. We know disappointment and despair and loss and grief. We know how little control we have over our lives and the lives of those we love and care for. There is so much beyond our control. But when we pretend that somehow we can control it, when we pretend that that is not the case and that indeed we are the center of our lives and we are the maker of our futures and we are the ones in control, we end up doing one of two things. We either confidently and selfishly turn inward, keeping others from the abundance of God, ignoring our neighbors in need in favor of hurting. Or we run fearfully away, denying the company of the ones we love, frantically avoiding the reality of our limitations and the grace of God's presence in favor of hiding. But friends, sisters, brothers, kinfolk, have faith and hear this good news. Our future rests not in our own power to secure it or deny it, but rather in God. God made known in Jesus Christ, the shepherd who leaves the 99 in search of the lost one, the one who leaves no stone left unturned in search of the one lost coin, the one who opens the door wide for the wedding banquet, the one who goes to the edges of town and invites everyone there, those on the margins, to come into the feast. And in that God, the great God of love and light and grace and justice and transformation and forgiveness and resurrection, our futures, though they may be unknown, are secure. Thanks be to God.